Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kezsource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside Kezsource Inc. So what does KezCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KezCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. In this episode, we discuss mental health, hockey culture, and battling through obstacles. Win all in, play my cards right. Our guest today is Jake Newton, professional hockey player and mental health advocate. Jake is from Cleveland, Ohio, and is currently playing hockey in Finland for JYP in the Finnish top division Liiga. Jake also spent time in the AHL and ECHL. In this chat, you'll hear John Priori, a content marketer at our company, handle this interview as I was out sick. John was most impressed with how Jake has been able to overcome mental obstacles. As a mental health advocate, Jake is focusing on building his brand off the ice with public speaking around the importance of mental health and performance at a high level. Segments of this chat will help continue the kickstart of our new Sports Epreneur podcast. Be sure to check it out at sportsepreneur.com, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you like to listen to your podcast. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Jake Newton.
You're from California, but I know your parents had stuff going on in Canada, so I'm assuming that's how you got into it. But you don't see too many California hockey players. How'd that happen? No,
exactly. I think now you're getting to see a lot more. I think the game has grown quite a lot, in especially in Southern California and the whole state as a whole. I was born in Arizona, and then we immediately moved to Canada. My mom's full-blown Canadian. My two sisters and my oldest brother were all born in Leduc, Alberta. So my younger sister was born just 11 months later up in Canada. So we kind of moved there, and you know, you're being half Canadian, you're going to kind of just automatically start hockey, or at least that'll be the first sport you try, I think, for most Canadians. So we tried it, started out with roller hockey for many years before I even switched to ice. It's just been something I've been doing since I was 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah. So I saw that you would drive 6 hours total each day, 5 times a week when you were kind of starting out for the minor Kings. Was that it?
Yeah. The town I'm from in Southern California is called San Jacinto, rated the fourth worst city in the whole state. So certainly not a great city to be from, but certainly can be proud of, you know, the fact that I've made it out of there. But it would be 100 miles to Los Angeles, practice for an hour and a half, however long, and then another 100 miles home. And as I'm sure you've heard of, or maybe you've experienced the California traffic, it is not one to be messed with. And we'd leave the arena at like 10 o'clock at night, and we would still be in parking lot traffic pretty much all the way home. So we'd get home 12:30, 1 o'clock pretty much every time.
That's insane. So did you, obviously you have to have a major passion for the game to do that, and your family as well. So they're sacrificing stuff as well. So how was it like making sure your family backed you, and then also, you know, getting up every day to know you have to drive 6 hours that day just to play hockey?
Yeah. I know that was never the hard part. The part of knowing I had to be doing this, because again, it was a passion of mine. You know, I had tried other sports, basketball, wrestling, soccer, and it was just every time I just always came back to hockey. So that wasn't the bad. It was more, you know, the sacrifices that my whole family would have to make for me. At one point, we were all playing travel hockey on different teams. So there was an incredible amount of sacrifice, you know, to go around. But I'd say around maybe the age of 14, 15, 16 is when we started to feel like, okay, maybe Jake is the one that can potentially make something from this. I was always playing at the highest levels on the best teams for California. And I think then my family just kind of really started pushing me. My brothers had stopped playing. They went into coaching. And then I started to believe it myself that, heck, you know, I'm 16 years old, moving away from home already to go and play on this team. This is certainly, you know, seeming like I've got a lot of potential to make this into something. So I think once that came to the forefront of the moment, then the rest kind of just took care of itself. And it was pretty easy to get up, go and drive all those hours for practice.
Yeah, there you go. And then, so I guess you were used to that once you got into professional hockey and you had to travel often with different teams, different countries, whatever it is. Did that help you, being that you started so young and you were kind of used to just traveling a bunch?
Yeah, you know, I know, you know, where I'm playing now in Finland, we don't ever have too many long road trips, but I've played on teams, especially in the American League, the East Coast League, where we're traveling for a whole entire day. And I just remember comments from guys, oh, I don't want to do this bus trip and blah, blah, blah. And I never felt like that. I always felt like really good going out onto the open road. You know, you get to listen to music, be with the boys, you know, have the conversations that we're going to have. And I've always been very comfortable in that type of situation. So I would say, yeah, it certainly did help, because obviously there are guys that don't like it at all, but I usually like it.
There you go. Where did the mental health struggles come in? Because I know you had struggled a little bit, especially at the beginning of your career. How did that come to be?
Yeah, you know, I think the struggles from my low mental health at the time, at the beginning of my career, kind of just came from an unawareness of not being aware of the things that I had gone through as a child through my teenage years. Very unfortunate things that happened to me, things that I experienced that I had pushed away for so many years, for 18 years. And honestly, I actually forgot about everything that had happened to me, never thought of it until one day it kind of came to the forefront of my mind. And then my ex-wife had decided that she wanted to go through some therapy. So she was going by herself, and then one day just asked if I would come. And I said, heck, why not? Might as well give it a try, you know? And even while I was saying yes to that, all the stuff that I went through was still not in my mind. I was just thinking, yeah, we'll go couples therapy, work on our relationship. Why not? And then I got there, and then slowly but surely the conversations started turning towards me and my family and our history and my history. And that's when I realized, whoa, maybe this stuff is having an impact on who I am, not only as a person, but certainly as an athlete. And that's when I just started really diving deep into it. I went through 3 years of mental counseling to make peace with all the stuff that I've been through my life. And I've just seen a massive increase of, again, not only who I am as a person, but certainly who I am as an athlete, as a hockey player. And I just highly, highly suggest that everybody gets on that type of path to where you can really be free. And I know for myself, like in the locker room and stuff now, of course, there's going to be moments where I'm not playing well, have a bad game, have a bad shift. And I know that personally, and I might get a little bit of feedback from the coach, and it's the coach's job to keep me accountable, right? But sometimes it may not be so pretty. He might be cursing at me and saying some unfortunate things. But who I am now as an athlete is I already know when I make mistakes. I'm already very comfortable in who I am as a player. So anything that the coach has to say, that critics have to say, my teammates have to say about me, that is fine because, I'm already comfortable with who I am. I know when I make mistakes. I know when I'm not playing well. So when that feedback does come, don't worry because I've already been giving myself my own honest feedback, you know? So once I started down that path of mental health, I've really just seen a massive increase in all aspects of my life.
That's good. So typically when you think of hockey players, you think these tough guys who don't want to show too much emotion. They don't want to show that, you know, they're down mentally or whatever it is. Was that a challenge for you?
Certainly was. I remember the hardest season I'd probably gone through was my first year away from home. I was 15 years old, moved up to Beaverton, Oregon, just outside of Portland. And this is when some of the depression that I was dealing with kind of really hit me the most. I was homesick, didn't really know how to be away from home. I was a boy, you know, and it was just so tough. Always missing my family and just being so afraid to speak up for myself, to talk back to these, heck, my teammates or guys on the other team. I would never open my mouth. And I'll touch a little bit now, and I'm sure we'll go into it a little bit later, just on some of the stuff that I experienced as a child. When I was 5 years old, I was sexually abused for 2 years by my cousin. And one time I threatened him that I was going to go and tell my parents. And he said, well, Jake, if you do that, I'm going to beat you up. So here I am as a 5 year old looking up to this guy. He must have been 6'1", 6'2" at the time, thinking, holy crap, I don't want to get beat up, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. So I kind of carried that same fear with me as a hockey player. You know, I moved away I was very timid, not the most physical guy already. And anytime there would be scrums, things like that, you know, guys are chirping. And here's me just dead quiet because I viewed these guys that I was playing with, these guys on my team, as my cousin. You know, and so again, I brought that with me for the next 18 years of my life until I finally, you know, stepped up for myself and started getting some help.
Going through that big of an obstacle, like you discussed, you know, a lot of people wouldn't be able to bounce back from that as like very well, but I'm sure you went through a lot to have to bounce back from that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So how was that like to just not bottle up and still go out there and play hockey as a kid? You know, obviously you're thinking about it all the time. You've got this bully, you've got this guy who's sexually abusing you, whatever it is, but you have to kind of just take that out of your mind. Was hockey your getaway?
Yeah, I would certainly say that hockey was, fortunately for me, you know, I grew up in a big family. We were playing it all day. We co-owned a roller hockey rink when I was younger, around the same age. So I kind of always had that getaway, that kind of quote unquote church for me. We always viewed the hockey rink as our church. We would go there, as, like I said, every day, co-owning it. But yeah, it was always a place for me to kind of go and get away from those thoughts. And to be honest with you, I don't remember how often I thought about it as a child. I think, unfortunately, when it happened also to my younger sister, her friend, and my two oldest brothers. And unfortunately, we didn't get help then. So I think what that subsequently taught me was kind of how to push everything away. And I grew up then with that type of characteristic of not facing my issues, not facing my problems in life, just pushing them away. And eventually they're going to go away. But I've learned now, being 30 years old, that anything you push away is only going to come back stronger. So I wish I kind of would have dealt with it all then. But again, I was 7 years old when everything kind of came to the forefront and things started getting figured out. So then I had no idea how to do it. Now I do. But of course, you know, in my teenage years, I dealt with some depression. Every single month for 1 week, I would be a completely different person. I would be so shy, not joking around, doing nothing really, very emotional, highly emotional. And I still had to go and show up to the hockey rink and play. And I had mentioned that the year I moved away from home at the age of 15 being my hardest year, that was when those type of mood swings, depression was probably at its peak, when I had to deal with them the highest. And that's kind of when I needed family the most, you know, but I didn't have it. I had it on a phone call, but I need that physical, you know, the personal, the touching. I need to be able to hug my mom and hug my dad and for them to see them telling me that everything was going to be okay, you know, and I didn't have that. So I kind of had to figure it all out on my own. And again, I've gone through 8-9 years of pushing everything away. So as soon as the tears faded, I was like, oh, okay, I'm okay. Until the next month when I would go through this depression again, I don't even know if that's what you would call it. Maybe it was mood swings. I'm not 100% sure. I never went to the doctor or anything. You know, so going through that stuff was very, very hard, very challenging, and even harder being away from home. And then kind of just randomly, they just stopped around the age of, I don't know, 20. So I dealt with it for, I don't know, 9 years, I would say. But then, you know, I resorted to other things too, to try and cope, to try and numb myself. And that was alcohol and marijuana, unfortunately. But I think that's something that's very common. That people do. They don't want to deal with their stuff. They want to just numb themselves, numb the negative stuff that they're feeling. And in most cases, people turn to drugs and alcohol, food, sex, whatever it may be. But I'm a firm believer now that we as humans aren't capable of just choosing which emotions, which feelings we numb. So while we think we're only numbing the negative ones, we're also numbing the positive ones. And now what are we left with? Well, we're left with nothing. So we're feeling nothing at all. You know, yeah, you might be partying and smoking and having a good time. You're smiling, right? You're high, you're getting the giggles, whatever it is. But again, on the inside, what are you feeling? And unfortunately, you're not feeling anything.
Yeah, that's it. So that's what people do, right? They numb the pain, they numb whatever. How did you get away from that side of it? So resorting to alcohol, resorting to marijuana, whatever it was, did something just go off? Or you're like, man, I can't do this anymore. Was that it?
No,
Okay.
So here's another thing. It's, in my opinion, the only way for somebody to wake up to be shooken or whatever is for something catastrophic in their life to happen. So my second year pro, I went from an NHL contract to being sent down to a league lower than the ECHL. The league's not even around anymore. So I went from being a highly touted prospect with Anaheim to potentially being the replacement for Scott Niedermeyer when he retired to being three levels away from the NHL. That with that not even really being a possibility anymore. And I was at a very low in my career, at a big time low in my personal life. And I didn't know what to do. I still hadn't gone through much therapy at this time. I didn't know to maybe reach out to my therapist to just speak through the stuff that I was dealing with. So what did I do? I turned to alcohol. I turned to marijuana. My wife at the time wasn't with me. And unfortunately, I turned to the comfort of another woman. So I wound up having an affair on my wife at the time. And she found out a week later. And so that was the event that shook me to my core, that made me realize, like, holy heck, you know, the decisions I'm making aren't only having an impact on me, but they're having an impact on a lot of people and a lot of people that are close to me. So that was when the therapy for me really, really took a big turn. And we started getting deep, deep into the sexual abuse that I went through as a child, and trying to figure out not only why, but how I was capable of making these decisions that I'd made for the last 18, 19 years of my life. And once I started working on that, that's when I really started seeing a big difference in who I was as a person. Really started making peace with the things from my past, with the decisions that I'd made in my life. And once you're able to do that, I think for anyone listening, once you're able to make peace with your past, it's no longer going to have an impact on your present moment and therefore your future. You can start making decisions from a place of clarity opposed to from a place of disturbance. And all too often we are disturbed, and it's not the present moment that's the problem. It's our past that's the problem, the fact that we haven't dealt with it yet.
That's incredible. So you going through all of these things, you are super positive, which is incredible. So that one, it proves that, A, if you focus and you work on your mental health, it can improve and it can get to a level where you're very positive, you're very upbeat, and you're the guy that people want to be around. You're right. The guy that your teammates want to be around, whatever it is. Like, if I spoke to you, I wouldn't even know what you've been through just seeing that, which is incredible, which is why you building your brand and talking to other people and just kind of just telling your story and getting in front of athletes, whoever it is.
Yeah.
That's needed. Like a guy like you who's truly been there, done that, and has improved his life in such a good way. It's incredible. There's nothing like it. That's good. Did you see also that it wasn't that bad when you started opening up as far as like your teammates accepting it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got another perfect example. Not in regards to that stuff that I went through, but I had a situation last season. When I first left home, I was married, had two kids, still have two kids. But like I said, I was married. And then my ex had made the decision in early in the season that she didn't want to be with me anymore. And it happened on a Saturday. Monday, I had to show up to the rink. And I've had my life pretty much completely altered, right, with this one decision. And so I remember, you know, first thing I did is I called my assistant coach. Hey, I need to have a talk with all you coaches on Monday, right, when I get in there. You know, so please make sure you guys are all there on time, whatever. So I go in there and I'm talking with the four coaches and I'm completely bawling for 45 minutes talking to them about what has happened. And then for 15 minutes, I said, can I just stay in here so I don't have to go be with the guys and them see me cry? And they said, yes, of course. And then, you know, 9 a.m, we had a team meeting. And here is me. And I'm the most positive guy in most locker rooms I've been in. The guy, the DJ, the one playing the music, the one singing, the one dancing, joking around. And then this meeting happens and everybody sees me and I'm just in a shell crying, you know. And then I wind up standing up in front of the locker room, you know, 30 men. And I let them know that I'm dealing with something very personal. And I'll never forget once I did that, The meeting ended. We went about our business, and I had about 15 of the guys come up to me and say, "Hey, Jake, I don't know what it is you're dealing with, but if you ever need anything, I'm here for you." Gave me a hug, you know, just gave me, you know, reached out to me. And that's when I realized that, you know, speaking up, talking is not bad. If anything, it helps to take that weight off of your shoulders. That I would be honest, in my opinion, to say that 80 to 90% of the global population probably lives with something that they haven't spoken on. Right. So I know that for me, as soon as I got that out, it was like a catapult for me to kind of recover so much faster than had I just kept it all in. And then shortly after, I started playing the games and my point production went through the roof because I wasn't carrying that weight with me. I got it out right away. And now I had like a team on my side, knew that I was dealing with something and they could be a part of the process for me. So I thought that was something that was certainly very powerful for myself.
That's incredible. I mean, especially when you think about it, like if you're the most positive guy in the room, or even regardless, if you're a teammate, if you're going through something, you're all going through something.
Like exactly.
You guys want to win. They want to lift you up. That's good to see. I mean, that's what you'd hope would happen, but that's often what people fear, is that they're going to judge you or they're going to, you know, not be that guy that lifts you up. You're just going to be depressed by yourself or whatever it is.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think unfortunately in society today, globally, again, that people are so afraid to do anything, say anything because of the opinions of others. And I talk about this a lot on my Instagram, is that anything that anybody thinks about you, their opinions of you, is just a reflection of how they view themselves. And so if somebody's going to, you know, I step up and I say that in front of the locker room, and if somebody wants to talk bad about me, that's okay. I now know who I don't want near me. You know, that's bad energy, negative energy that I'm not going to allow into my little circle. But I think in terms of hockey, like you said, it is that, you know, rough and tough sport along with football, you know, where guys are so afraid, to speak up. But I think if we could like put an end to that stigma, I think you would see teams bonding a heck of a lot better together. I think the coach-player relationship would be a lot better. Could you imagine? I've talked to this with a couple other guys I've done podcasts with, and one time we were talking about, could you imagine if at the beginning of the season, in preseason, the whole entire team is in the locker room, coaching staff, everybody, and we had a mental health talk. Guys are able to stand up and say something that they've gone through in their life or something that maybe they're dealing with now. I think you would have that relationship between coach and player to where the player isn't going to be so afraid to go up to the coach and ask for to watch video or how am I playing, things like that, you know, because they're mentally sound. And same thing with the coach. And I think if that were to happen, it would be a beautiful thing, because again, I think you're going to get teams bonding a lot more. You're going to see a lot more success, not only on the ice, but off the ice, where in my opinion, that's what matters most. On ice success is great, but if you're, you know, a shell of a person off the ice, then who are you really, you know?
Right. I do like that, especially from the hockey standpoint, because you know, from the outside looking, from the fans' perspective, these guys are just like beasts out there, right? That's what a lot of people think. Like they're not real people. They're just like big guys who like to skate on the rink and hit people and, you know, like play whatever. Like they don't have that side to them. That's a real person. B, someone who opens up and is, you know, genuinely a good person. But does the actual game of hockey take a toll on you mentally, as far as like the physical play, the travel, all everything that goes into being a hockey player? How does that relate to mental health and whatever it is?
Yeah, it's certainly going to play an impact, the physicality of the sport, the travel, you know, the amount of, some teams travel more than other teams, you know, so therefore if you have a wife and kids at home, you know, if you're on the road a couple times a week, that's going to, you know, play a role in where you're at mentally. Some guys are okay with it, other guys aren't, you know, and I think it's best to not treat everybody the same, because we're not all the same. We all deal with different things, feel differently about certain things. But I think that part, the physicality, the traveling, I think the best way to kind of overcome that is in a lot of ways experience. You know, if it's your first, second year and you're not used to this type of travel, you're not used to playing 80 games in a season, not including playoffs, and then playing against men, you know, guys that are older, bigger, stronger, faster than you, then I think it is for, you know, certainly going to have an impact on you physically and certainly on you mentally. And there's so many things that I feel that you can really only overcome them through experience. So I wasn't this same person now that I was, you know, 9 seasons ago when I first started my career, of course, mentally, but there's a lot of things physically that I've grown in 9 years. You know, I'm bigger now, I'm stronger, I'm faster, I'm more of that veteran presence in the locker room and on the ice, you know. So I think it does have an impact, but I would say it has probably more of an impact on a younger player.
Yeah, so I mean, going off of that, as the veteran player and seeing what you went through earlier in your career, do you find yourself taking into the younger guys?
Yeah, I'd say so, and I just feel like I have more of a voice now. I don't have to feel timid anymore to speak up in the locker room. There's some what's the word I'm looking for? Some truth maybe to what I'm saying, and certainly some experience. So I don't just kind of speak crap. Mm-hmm. I speak on how I'm feeling and the experiences that I've gone through. So a lot of times I speak on mental stuff in the locker room as it pertains to hockey. You know, just about confidence and where you're at mentally and kind of like what I talked about. When you, at this level, we all know when we're not playing well, you know, so if the coach has anything to say to you, it shouldn't impact you, because I think in the end, we are all our own worst critics. So if you already feel bad about how you're playing, don't allow another person to make you feel even worse, because then you're going to be tense. Your next shift isn't going to be so good, you know, and you need to be able to rebound.
What advice do you have for a young hockey player who may be struggling, going through some things and, you know, not really sure what's happening mentally, not really sure where their career is going?
Yeah. My advice would be to, I'm sure these players that are listening to that might be in the unfortunate habit of pointing the finger at other people. And that's only going to carry you so far in life and in your career and in whatever sport it is you're playing. And my advice to you is to turn that finger around and point it right at yourself. Because all the problems that you're talking about, they all start with you and end with you. So it would be just to do some soul searching, be honest with yourself, do the work that you need to do from within. Stop worrying so much about your teammates. Stop worrying so much about your coaches. Because they're all going to be how they're going to be, but you can't control that, but you can control how you are and the type of work that you're putting in. I think mentally is the number one thing, in life and certainly in sports. You know, at the level I'm playing at the NHL level, we're all so close physically. We all work out like horses, you know, but it's what are we doing between the years that is truly going to make the difference. And I think that's where anybody and everybody should be starting.
That's really good. So you're building your brand, right? So you're at the end of your career. You're building your brand. You're trying to create that message for other players, for other individuals in general, kind of based off your experiences. Using your platform for good is just something that's a lot of people, either they don't do, they're just using their name to monetize it. But it seems like you're truly trying to make that impact and get in front of people in a genuine way. How have you seen that's been going, and where is it headed from here?
Yeah, it's been going very, very well. You know, I get messages almost daily from just random people, not only here in Finland, but back home in America. I've received messages from people in Russia. You know, so I know I'm having a big impact on people's lives, and that's just all I care about. Like, I'd say I've probably got, I don't know, 2-3 more seasons left of hockey. So certainly, like you said, towards the end of my career. This is the path I'm going to go down. It's going to be mental health, and not only for athletes, but it's just going to be for us as humans. I'll certainly continue to use Instagram as a platform for that. Of course, I'm going to have the funny stuff, me singing and dancing. I'm going to always continue doing that. But that too kind of helps people. I get messages from people when they see me singing and smiling and stuff, you know. And I've also recently started to use LinkedIn more. Obviously that's how we've met. And I'll continue to doing that as well. But I think once I'm done playing hockey, I'm truly going to go down the path of public speaking and hoping to speak to businesses and sports teams as well. But yeah, I think just the path is to just stay consistent with what I'm doing. You know, I'm in season now, so I'm not putting out as many videos. But I've also kind of stopped. I would sometimes just get motivated to reach out and put out another video. But I feel like when I do that, my delivery isn't as smooth. So I'm waiting until I feel inspired. Then I think that my message is a lot more smooth and people are going to better understand what it is I'm trying to get out there. So I'll just continue with that. During off seasons, I'll be putting out more videos. But I think I'll continue to put out even more videos on LinkedIn, because I think that's where I'm going to get, I guess you would say, my clientele, people that may want me to speak for them. And I'm actually working one day a week with a speaking coach. He's a speaker himself. Actually, I think we spoke about him. He's there in North Carolina. And we meet once a week for roughly around an hour, and he's just kind of helped me put together different styles of speaking, how to speak, things like that. So I'm gaining confidence through this, and I'll start doing that during the summers, so that when I am done playing, I can kind of ease into the next aspect of my life, opposed to being done playing and having no idea where I'm going. So
that's perfect, because we see that often. You know, an athlete plays a sport and then they're done. Everyone thinks they're set, right? So you know, they made money playing professional sports, but you only played sports for what, maybe 10, 15 years. Right. You've got the rest of your life to do something. And often you've just been focused on hockey, or you've just been focused on football, whatever it is, that you don't have those. You do have skills, but you don't have those necessary professional skills to say, go get a regular job.
Yeah.
But the good thing about today is that you can build this brand while you're playing. So you don't have to just focus on hockey. You don't have to just focus on public speaking, whatever it is. You can do both at the same time and use your name, your brand, to, once you're done playing, to fully focus on that. And it already started at somewhere. So you have that foundation that's built. You can get in front of these people. And I think also just talking to you, going on LinkedIn is perfect for you, because the business professional, A, is going through mental trials and tribulations as well. And B, you know, there's a ton of sports fans on LinkedIn in general, and those hockey, you know, terminology, or just talking to a guy like you, or just having those analogies, which is exactly what we do at Sportypreneur, is creating sports and business analogies.
Yeah.
That's what gets people to talk to you, regardless of what you have to say. It gets you in the door. So I think that's an incredible opportunity for you to one, see while you're playing and start to build out. And two is to actually do it.
You know, this isn't just for athletes. You know, of course, there's probably going to be more athletes that are listening to this. But in the end, we are all humans. We are all one. You know, people want to be, you know, religious and all this stuff. And in the end, we're one religion, that we're the human race. And I think if we can start again with ourselves, the world's going to be a better place, because I don't judge you. I don't know you so well, right? I hope to know you more, but I don't walk down the street any longer and judge any people, because I see the way they carry themselves. If they're overweight, underweight, it all comes, in my opinion, back to mental health. So if you want the world to be a better place, you need to start with yourself. And until you do that, you're going to continue using vices as ways to numb yourself, as ways to cope from the things you've gone through in life. And I just highly suggest you just start taking an honest effort, an honest approach to working on yourself from within. Then everything else is going to fall into place. And it takes a long time. I'm going to continue going here a little bit. It takes a long time to kind of see the light or be in the light. I think with physical injuries, where we go to the doctor, we break a leg, we're told in 8 weeks you get to play basketball again. In 8 weeks you get to go back to work. But with physical injuries, with mental health, we aren't given that kind of end date. So therefore, we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm here to tell you from my own experiences that that light is in the daily work. It's in the daily process of, again, working on yourself from within. And you kind of get daily gratification from it. And there's nothing in this world that can give you that. There's no person, job, house, amount of money that is going to give you that feeling like you can for yourself. So again, turn that finger around, point it at yourself, and let's start from within.
That's incredible. I love that. I mean, and then when you take that, and like we talked about before with LinkedIn, and like you kind of mentioned, if you apply that from the sports world to the business world, like just thinking about myself, right? Like I'll go through phases where it's like, holy cow, this is terrible. Like, you know, I'm not good mentally right now. And then it just takes one thing. Like I'm looking outside and it's cloudy right now. But if the sun came out, I'd probably be good right now. Like it's just that one little thing that just you often need a spark or you need whatever it is to get you through mentally, because sometimes there, it looks like there is no end to it and you have to kind of create that end, if that makes sense, by working on yourself. We appreciate you coming on, talking about your perspectives, talking about your life and everything you've been through. It's not easy sometimes. I'm sure it's been easier as you've talked about it more, but it's not easy to share that story.
It's trying to put an end to the stigma. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of moving in the right direction. But I don't like the pace that in which it's moving. I want it to move faster, and I want this world to be a better place faster, because I do have two kids and they're growing up quick, and I want the world to be a better place for them. So that's why I will just continue to do what I'm doing in hopes that we can get it going a little bit faster.
Jake, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your hockey stories to your thoughts on using your platform to help others, we are all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Jake on mental health and enjoying his career are now perspectives you, the business leader, can use for yourself. And for that, Jake, thank you. And for anyone looking to follow Jake throughout his journey, we encourage you to follow him on social media. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our Kaz Source podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.